turn to Acts 4. I'm really going to try to condense this. There's a lot more that could be said that I'm going to say this morning. It's on my heart. I guess I was thinking about Psalm 2, and I went to Acts 4, and I said, well, hey, Psalm 2 is in Acts 4. So I guess I would entitle this, What the Early Church Believed. There's no ecumenical council. There's no get-together. It was Holy Spirit inspired. And here's in, I guess I would say my real text is verse 24, but I'm going to get up to that, and I'm going to try to take as little time as possible. In verse 5, Acts 4, verse 5, and it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, and I want to just stop for a second and say these men had a lot of power. They had a lot of power, and that's important for the following verses. They had extreme power. And they were, you know, the rulers, as it says, and they were very revered by the people. And they said in verse 7, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, I want y'all to know how bold this preaching is. They did not pull punches here at all. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, they didn't pull any punches. Imagine coming before a congregation of people and telling them, you crucified Jesus Christ. And further, they said, whom God raised from the dead. He was justified by God. Amen. By the resurrection from the dead, it says in Romans 1. Whom God raised from the dead. Even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. And now they're going to get into scripture, some Old Testament scripture. They're telling these rulers that all these scripture in the Old Testament pointed to Christ. All these scripture that these men knew very well, these rulers knew very well, they pointed to Christ. This is a stone which was set at naught by you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Psalm 118 and Isaiah 28. Neither is there salvation in any other. Rulers, your religion is dead. Your religion is dead. This is Christ. This is the Messiah. This is what the Old Testament scripture pointed to. This is what you were searching for. And in Jesus Christ is all the Old Testament scripture fulfilled. This is the stone which was set at naught by you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And, you know, there's a lot. I'm trying to condense it. But, you know, they're thinking, hey, this prophecy was talking about someone else. Someone's going to set at naught this stone. But they're the ones that set it at naught. The scripture was fulfilled in them. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they had, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. So it goes on and talks about how they further threatened them and charged them. And in verse 19, but when Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Moving on, so in verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when the company, and when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice with one accord and said, Lord, and this here, here's my, the message. Here's what the early church believed. They had no, you know, I mentioned this before to you. I went to Jesuit University, and I actually took Reformation history by a Jesuit priest, and, you know, it was interesting. He did a pretty good job, but I learned, you know, about all these ecumenical councils, how they all got together, and they basically agreed on the least common denominator. And over time, it got more and more watered down what they believed. But this is a Holy Spirit inspired what the early church believed. This, you know, I was reading through Acts one time, and I was like, wow, this, you know, this is the early church. This is what they knew about. This is what they agreed upon. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Just think about the confusion these days about where did we come from? Who made the universe? Who made the earth? They knew God made the heavens and the earth and all that in them is. Everything. And then they knew that the Old Testament was verily God's word. And that it was not just God's word, but it was being fulfilled. That the prophetic utterances were being fulfilled. And here in it says, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, that was going to go to Psalm 2, but I'm going to kind of move on here because I could get really bogged down in Psalm 2. And it's a wonderful psalm. It's, you know, the Lord, all these kings of the earth stood up. They took counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. They said, let us break their bands asunder and cast their cords from us, and the Lord shall laugh. And this is the Lord, really, the fulfillment that the Lord laughed. They took counsel together. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child, and it could be translated servant, for of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. So the early church knew about the sovereignty of God.
Amen.
They knew that God had worked all these things. And I can't explain it. You know, I said that over and over. You know, all these people, they cast dice, they, for, you know, Christ's vesture, they nailed his hands and his feet. He looked upon, you know, himself and these strong bulls of Bashan, you know, who were gathered round about Christ. All these scriptures were fulfilled. They did exactly the evil that was in their heart. but they fulfilled God's will. It was done exactly. And I want to say this too, while I'm thinking of it. God is not the author of sin. There's no shadow in him. There's no darkness in him. God is not the author of sin. But the people fulfilled exactly his will in the crucifixion of Christ. And I could take comfort in that. And I do take comfort in that. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. So the early church knew that God is sovereign in all creation. The early church knew that the Old Testament was divinely inspired. And they knew that the prophecy were fulfilled and that the manifestations they were seeing around them were the fulfillment of God's prophecy and what he had moved holy men to write. And that the crucifixion of Christ was not willy-nilly, you know, some willy-nilly thing that happened in some great defeat. It was the greatest triumph, and it was determined by God. And that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And that's all my hope. It rests in that.
Amen.
All my hope. My works don't cut it. I love that song that, you know, I sing it as often as I have James around because he's the only one that knows it, it seems. But I could lead it. You don't want me to lead songs, but I could lead it. My vow in gratitude I mourn. I do. But Christ is my only hope. And I also thought of this scripture before I finish. Is, you know, Christ said, with desire, I have desired to have the supper with you. And I feel that for this Lord's Supper. I've been looking forward to it. And thanks for having me.
Go ahead and pray about that.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all your blessings to us, Lord. They're truly many, countless. Lord, you're a sovereign God, doing thy will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay your hand or say unto thee, what doest thou? Lord, we ask for our daily bread. We ask for thy forgiveness, Lord. And we ask that your will be done in heaven and in the earth as it is in heaven, Lord. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would attend the service, Lord, that you would give liberty to Brother James, Lord, that you would be with him and his message, Lord, that it would find good ground among your people, Lord. We ask that you would be with Camp Moriah this year, Lord, that you might even use it as you had many years ago to touch my brother's heart, that you would regenerate people, Lord, and convert them. Lord, we ask that you give us safety and safety at camp and good fellowship this week. And pray that you be with the Lord's Supper, and Lord, that we would come with hearts of gratitude and also realize our own wickedness, Lord, and that we repent, Lord, and we ask that we turn from it. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.